So we only start a new year once a year. If you would like to share something with us or say something to us, you're ready to start. Just give you opportunity. Won't have a chance again to be the first of the year until 2021.
It's so good to worship the Lord.
So good to worship the Lord. Amen. So it is the start of a new year, new decade. And we wonder what the year will hold for us, don't we? We wonder what the decade holds for us. We wonder what things are going to come our way during the course of the year or the decade. So we wonder about what's going to happen. And of course, it's always what's going to happen to me. So probably you're wondering a little bit about those kinds of things, either for the year or the decade. But as you wonder about what will happen to you, I encourage you also to wonder about what will you do? What should you do? Now, most of you know that I frequently emphasize not so much what you should do, but who you are in Christ. I suppose I tend towards the perspective that if you are a volleyball player, you tend to play volleyball. So I want to teach us about who we are in Christ. Because if you realize who you are in Christ, I think you'll tend to live that way. So I like verses which say things like, "Beloved, now we are the children of God." I love verses, "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." It's about who we are, where we stand. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, new creation. Consequently, the sons are free. I love those kinds of verses because they speak to who we are in Christ. If you know that you are a child of God, I think you'll do child of God type things in your living. If you know you've been reconciled to God, I think you'll tend to draw near to Him. If you are a new creature, I think you'll do new creature things. If you're free, you will want to live free. And I could keep going. If you're dead to sin, you no longer have to live in sin. If you've received Him, you can be then encouraged to walk in Him, even as you've received Him. Having said that, I don't think right living automatically follows being right. It tends to. It's natural for it to, but living right doesn't automatically follow being right. You can be married and not live like you're married, can't you? Married people. Sometimes it's good for married people to hear, "You're married, live like it," right? But you can't live married if you're not married. That doesn't happen. It's not possible. So how should the children of God live at the start of 2020? How should the children of God live? And what should they do at the start of this new decade? And of course, there are some things that can rightfully be said at the beginning of each new year, no matter what the year is, that would be good to say. I read a guy who said, "You know, I don't know what 2020 holds, but I'm pretty sure if we are devoted to God's word, to prayer, to the breaking of bread, and to fellowship, that it'll improve our lives." I believe that's true. So we could all go read that verse in Acts 2, and we don't know what 2020 holds, but we do these things, be devoted to these things, that'll serve us well. But I thought it might be helpful just to suggest over the next few weeks a few things that you might consider doing in this new year. It's not likely that all my suggestions are going to be helpful to you, but I hope some of them are. It's also the kind of discussion that if you have a comment or a question or something right in the middle, feel free to let us know. You know, put your hand up and we'll hear from you. But I just want to give a few suggestions about things that you might do. I worry a lot about maturity, about growing up, about not just getting out of Egypt, but entering Canaan. So I don't want to simply talk about foundational things, as important as foundational things are. I don't want to always talk about getting started. I don't want to always kind of focus on the importance of leaving Egypt, because I care about not just getting started, but finishing, ending, not just being born, but maturing, growing up. But today, I want to consider something that's very fundamental. Fundamental not simply to the Christian life, but to human life, to all human life. There are quite a few happenings in our time that are raising the issue, what does it mean to be a human being? A lot of things going on around us raise the issue, what does it mean to be a human being? What is a human being anyway? There's biomedical issues. So what is a human being? Identity politics are often, so what does it mean to be a human being? How we understand human rights, human freedom. So what do you think a human is? And perhaps, of course, most prominently, there's a swirl of issues dealing with human sexuality. What does it mean to be a human being? So here's a suggestion. For one thing that I think it would be good for you to do in 2020, just take it as a suggestion. What you could do in 2020 is help some others figure out what it means to be a human being. I think that would be a good thing for to be done in this coming year, or maybe it's a good thing for you to do. Help some others figure out what it means to be a human being. That includes, and we'll get to more of this in just a moment, helping others figure out what it means to be a man or to be a woman. But I think good service to other people could be you helping them. How can I help you be you? How can another person really be a true human being? How can you help that person be who they really are? So something that you might do in this coming year is help others figure out how they can be themselves. There are two basic options, two basic paths. Option number one is being you is about who you decide yourself to be. That's the main issue. So being you is about who you decide yourself, who you're going to be. I mean, you are the creator of who you are. You get to decide. You get to declare. You get to determine. Whatever does not conform or assent to your determination of who you are is to be resisted, to be rejected, because it's opposing you being who you really are. So that's option one. You are the creator. You have to make yourself who you want to be, who you think you are. Option number two is you have a creator. You are a created being. That's what a human being is, a created being. And being you is about being the person your creator created you to be. That's what being a human being is being what your creator intended for you to be. You will be you when you fulfill the designs and the purposes of the one who created you. So those are your two basic options. In option number one, there isn't anything except what the individual subject decides, what the individual subject wills. There are no givens from outside of you about who you are or about what you are. There's only what the individual subject decides and wills. There are no givens about how you should live in order to be you. Rather, being you only happens if you have created it. That's what being you means, is you have created it. Oh, that's option one. Now, even if you're unlikely, as I suspect most of you are, If you're unlikely to agree with or affirm such a full-blown subjectivism, and by subjectivism means everything is determined just by the individual subject, I determine everything there is about myself and my life. If you're unlikely to agree or affirm with a full-blown subjectivism, take a moment and consider how much pressure, how much influence such views all around us exert on us. Nearly everyone cringes at the idea of telling another person that their views of themselves are wrong. Everybody can, that's dangerous to do, to tell another person that what they think about themselves is wrong. I don't want to do that. To challenge another, what another says about himself or herself, that seems to be, well, you're not accepting that person for who they are. You're not letting them be themselves. You don't accept what they say about themselves. You think they're wrong. You're not letting them be who they are. You're not affirming a person and doing what they want to do. That's tantamount to saying to another person that you have no right to life and liberty and happiness. You challenge their views about themselves. If you do that, I can guarantee you, you'll be accused of wanting the freedom to be who you are, but not allowing others to have the freedom to be who they are. You'll be accused of that. So all of us feel lots of pressure, lots of expectation to let each person define his or her own identity. Again, think of challenging that. That's like cardinal sin in our time. Option number two says you have a creator. Someone has created you and given you life. There's another who gives to you life and breath in all things. There's one who provides and cares for you. There's one who knows you, one who loves you, one who has purposes and plans for you. You have a creator. And not only are you a creature, but you inhabit a creation. A creation that has been made by the creator and is sustained by the creator. So creation isn't simply material around you that you can try to shape and design to your own purposes and your own designs, to your own ends. So in 2020, one thing you might consider doing is help others know that a human being is a creature created by the Creator. Help others know that. And I don't mean, you don't have to paint it on the side of your car, but every kind of indication that you give, from the words of your mouth to the responses that you make to the understandings that you share about issues, should reflect that you think a human being is a creature who's been created by a creator and placed in his creation. That true humanity is about being what you were created to be, you know, by a transcendent creator. Help some others know that, because that's an issue being raised in our time. Now, close on the heels of that issue, which is the first and biggest one, in my opinion, namely the issue of, is there a being that's transcendent to you? I think the answer to that is yes. You know, there's one who transcends you, so you don't get to decide. He's given things about you. In fact, he's created you. But close on the heels of that issue is the issue that the Creator has created human beings, male and female. A verse every one of us, I think, should memorize is Genesis 2:27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You want to just memorize one verse for 2020 as far as giving you some direction for things to do? Memorize that verse. Male and female, he created them. the issue of what you are and who you are is bound up intimately with your sex. And your sex is determined by your creator. That means, rather simply, for you to be the real you, you know, or the person across from you to be who they really are, you have to figure out. For you to be the real you, you have to figure out what it means to be the sex that you were created. You have to figure out what that means for you to be really you. Nearly every cell in your body bears testimony to the sex that you were created. And of course, it's directly revealed in sexual genitalia. But to you, for a person to really be the true you, the real you, you have to figure out what it means to be the sex that the Creator made you. So in order to be you, one who's born male has to learn what it means to be a man. And in order to be you, one who's born female has to learn what it means to be a woman. So here's a suggestion for something good to do in 2020. Help those created male figure out what it means to be men. Help those who are created female figure out what it means to be women. And I want to put some special emphasis for all of us on children and young people. We live in a time when boys often get very little help in knowing what it means to be a man. And girls get very little help often in knowing what it means to be a woman. So obviously, if you are a parent and have your own kids, very important for every parent here, help your daughters become women. And help your sons become men. And if there's things that the rest of us can do in supporting you, that we have to cancel church for 3 months and just have boys' outings, you know, or live out in the woods and shoot animals or something, you know. It's very important. Teach your daughters how to be women. Teach your boys, tell your sons to be men. But probably nearly all of us have contact with and connection to children and young people. And you have relatives, family members, many of us involved in education, involved with students from preschool to graduate school. You might be involved in Boys or Girl Scouts or other boy or girl associations of some sort, after school programs, athletics, etc. Almost all of us have some involvement with children and young people. So consider how in the coming year you can help girls become women, know what it means to be a woman. Consider how you can help boys that you know, boys that you are involved with, how can those boys become men? Now, I think being a man or being a woman is a wonderful, mysterious, complicated thing. So please don't hear me claiming for myself that I'm an expert or an authority. Because there's lots of mystery, lots of wonder, lots of complexity. You ask men what it means to be a man, and they often don't know. For sure you ask them what it means for a woman to be a woman, they don't know the answer to that either. But women don't know the answer to that. We're sitting here in an agenda helping people be something that's a mysterious, complex thing to fully understand and articulate. So I'm not claiming to be some authority on that. I do want to say that any of us who desire to be helpful to others, whether you're a parent and you want to be helpful to your son or daughter, or you want to be helpful to the kid across the street or a student in your class, one issue that you're going to have to consider is, where do you find wisdom about the matter? You're going to have to ask yourself, what wisdom and understanding is there in traditional understandings about men and women? Is there any found in those traditional understandings of men and women of wisdom that you want to avail yourself of? Do previous generations have a lot to offer to help us understand what it means to be created male and female. Or are previous generations mainly a record not of wisdom, but of oppression and subjugation and control and power and abuse? So don't take what they say, because it's not wisdom, it's just oppression and abuse. Are traditional understandings of masculinity toxic? Are traditional understandings of femininity just testimony primarily to male oppression, male control? Or is there wisdom? You're going to have to ask yourself that. Where do you find wisdom, you know, about what it means to be a man or a woman? So if you're going to help others become men or become women, you're going to have to decide, where do you find wisdom about that issue? Our time is not, in my opinion, a particularly wise time about such matters. But one thing we can learn, I think, from our own time is we get a strong reminder in our own time that human beings created in the image of God, human beings created male and female, have fallen into sin. Our time reminds us of that, at least. That we are people who have rebelled and rejected our Creator and His will. And there are no earthly goods that sinful people are not capable of twisting and distorting, twisting and abusing. There isn't any goods, including the goods of what does it mean to be a human being, what does it mean to be a man, what does it mean to be a woman. We're capable of twisting and distorting and abusing those things. Desirable characteristics can become ugly, can come to serve selfish and arrogant designs. Traits that are needed and necessary can be used instead to manipulate and exploit. That's possible. Important impulses, important responsibility can be twisted in order to get just serve your own personal agenda, get what you want. In fact, a large part for each person learning to be a man or a woman, learning to be the man or woman that you were created to be, is learning not to abuse and not to distort and not to make self-serving things that you should be. That's a large part of becoming, you know, a man or a woman. Those things that rightfully belong to men or women, don't abuse those things. Don't distort them, don't twist them, don't make them self-serving, don't do them in arrogance. Now, I don't debate it in my own mind. I don't want to lose you over an argument or a debate or some particular or specific things about men or women. That's not my purpose today. Rather, I just want to encourage you to do what you can so that boys become men. So that boys learn to do what a man needs to do. I encourage you to do what you can do so that girls become women. That they do what a woman needs to do. You know, help a man know about responsibility and strength, about providing, about protecting, about authoring. Help a man know how is it he's supposed to handle the sexual impulses and desires that he feels and that he has. What do you do with those things? Help a woman know how to nurture, how to support, how to help, how to walk in step with. Help a woman know, figure out what it means to be beautiful. Women who are usually associated with cosmetics. How many of you are wearing cosmetics? I expect girls' hands to go up, not guys' hands. Cosmetics is related to the word cosmos, same root in Greek. And the word means adornment. So a woman can help a person understand what the whole blooming cosmos is about. Because the whole cosmos is an adornment from the Creator. To let a woman know how to adorn herself. See a woman do that, oh, I get the whole cosmos thing. You know, so teach girls how to be that kind of person. So that's a suggestion. And I want to encourage you to focus on some little people that you know, or people in adolescence. So I don't think our age is very helpful in helping people understand what it means to be a human being. It's not who you've made yourself to be. It's taking hold of what your Creator made you to be. That's what it means to be a human being. And He created each human being, male or female, to really be you. You know, you want to say to the boy, to really be you, to figure out what it means to become a man. I want to help you do that. Say to the little girl, for you to find the full expression of who you are, you're going to have to learn to be a woman. All of what that means. So I encourage you to do some things to help people do those things needed in our time. Now, learning what it means to be a human being, learning what it means to be a man or a woman, is not the same thing as being a saint. And personally, I have some agreement with the statement, I forget who made it, says, you know, the only thing that matters is to be a saint. I tend to agree with that, actually. Being a human being and being a man or being a woman is not the same thing as being a saint. The only thing that matters is being a saint. But it's human beings who become saints. It's men and women who become saints. So I care a lot about, let's all be good human beings and good men and women. Let's get on to the talking about saints part. But we live in a time where it's really important to help others know those fundamental things of what does it mean to be a human being? What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? Something you could do in this coming year, this coming decade. Set yourself the course, helping some others. You know, of course, you want to understand it for yourself, but help some others understand what those things mean. It's involved in those things. I'm hoping, can't make it happen, but that some people, you know, pop to mind that you have connections with. Students in your class, the kids down the street, the group of young people that you have some connection with. Yeah, I want to. They get a lot of messages from a lot of different quarters. I want to help them know what a human being is and help them grow to be the man or the woman that God Himself created them to be so that they can really be their true selves. So I hope some names and people pop to mind in situations. And to spend some time and effort with such agendas, I think, is both necessary and good. And in counseling type situations, just one, you know, word of testimony or anecdotal evidence about it is many times people don't feel bad and don't struggle that others they know haven't become saints. They struggle. People that I know haven't become very good human beings, or very good men, very good women. And the agony and the heartbreak comes over the fact not of lack of sainthood, the struggle and the lack kind of in areas of what does it understand to be a man or a woman, a person created in the image of God. So it's worth kind of our effort and our help. So we do want to spend a lot of time working on becoming saints, holy ones. But something that you might want to do, take it as a suggestion, okay? Help some others understand about being human beings. Help them know what it means to really be themselves. Help some girls make progress in becoming women. Help some boys make progress in becoming men. So that's my suggestion. Let's close in prayer. Father, all of us, Father, each one of us, and Father, every person that we encounter, Father, from Father, all around the globe, Father, is somebody, Father, created in your image and likeness, created by you, male or female. Father, in our service and ministry and care and love and instruction and exhortation to each other, Father, we would be used by you to help others flourish as human beings and understand being one created by you. Father, we would be used by you to help those who you've created male to grow into, become men, and all that a man's supposed to be. Father, and those created by you female to become women. Father, and to show forth things about yourself and your ways, and reflect things of your glory, Father, that you yourself have thought of for both men and women to reflect and to give testimony to. So, Father, we think of those people in our own lives, Father, from our own kids, Father, from students and people on the athletic team, folks across the street, the neighborhood, Father, at work. Father, we would bear testimony each day in whatever ways you make possible, just that we are your creatures. And we would help other people grow in becoming who it is that you've made them. So use us, Father, we pray in 2020 to be light and help, Father, to those around us. And Father, for each one, for each person, Father, we think too, we desire and pray that they would become saints. Father, pillars in your house, known by you, Father, shining lights in Israel, numbered among your people. So help us with the foundation, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. So none of you raised your hand or said anything. Anybody want to?
Well, next week we have the opportunity to take questions on some of the topics you brought up.
My suggestion, some of them are you could probably guess and anticipate over the next few weeks. Some of them I hope to surprise you on. But the whole time, whether it's surprising and heavy or lightweight, and you know, from fundamental to advanced, it's meant to be, you know, not me pounding on the pulpit up here and, you know, insisting that you do something, but getting us to think about things to do. What might the Lord want you to do as his child in the coming years? So, yeah, if we circle back and you have been thinking about it and have some questions about what was last week or 2 weeks ago, we would welcome those things. Whether it's a comment, you know, I thought about what you said and think this needs to be added or subtracted, you know, you're welcome to do that, or just a question. I guess I'll try to make the call that we don't become too hodgepodge and talking about too many topics all at once. Yeah, even to go into future weeks if you want to think about it. So like to just keep it kind of like open and don't feel like I can't say anything. He seems to be talking and saying something right now. I hope I didn't sound like I want you to go find people and lecture them about either the creation or, you know, male and female things. If you were to ask me, and maybe you don't think I'm a very good man, so that, you know, then discount the information, but Roger, who taught you to be a man? And my answer to that more than anyone would be my dad. But I don't know if my dad, if I ever had any discussion with my dad or, you know, he sat down and lectured me about what being a man was. I mean, I maybe got some one sentence things every now and then being disciplined of a man doesn't do that, something like that. But I never got speeches from him. And yet I would say it's my dad who taught me how to be a man. Being helpful to somebody, I'm not just saying do lectures, give speeches, or links to articles or something like that. And, you know, our dependence on the Lord, prayer in secret on behalf of others, you know, those things, and, you know, soaking in God's Word, those things are vital to actually be useful in helping others. So, good word. So I encourage you to think about it, talk, share it with yourselves, and, you know, suggestion about something to do. It's a good thing for people of God to be involved in. So apply it as appropriate and possible for yourself. So let's close with the benediction. Just receive a blessing from our God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. To him belongs the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Enjoy some fellowship.